Good evening. My name is Don Ecker, the show UFOs Tonight. You're listening to the Cable Radio Network. And joining me in studio once again, Mr. Dwight Schultz, star of stage and screen. And we have a special in-studio guest tonight, Dr. Joseph Burks. Vicky's in here too, all geared up to do her landing pad, and we should have one jam-packed show. What are we going to be talking about tonight? Well, we're going to be talking about an organization that got going about roughly 5 years ago, an organization called CSETI, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, begun by Dr. Stephen Greer, who was an emergency room physician located back in North Carolina. Dr. Joseph Burks is a practicing medical internist who is practicing medicine out here in Southern California. Became affiliated with CSETI back in 1992. And you may be wondering why we are going to be focusing on this organization. Well, if you have been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that myself and my wife publish a magazine called UFO Magazine, which is published here in the Los Angeles area. It is considered one of the most journalistic and investigative publications of its type on what we have always stated is a very misunderstood subject. And back in our Volume 10, Number 3 issue, which is May-June of 1995, just a few months ago, the theme of the issue was UFO cults, cutting edge or possibly something else. And listed inside this particular magazine, Volume 10, Number 3, was CSETI, Dr. Greer's group. Now, I'm going to read to you exactly what we had put in the magazine. And incidentally, if you have or subscribe to UFO Magazine, the Volume 10, Number 3 issue, you can find this on page 23. And I'm going to start now. Steve Greer and CSETI. The Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence promotes its working assumption that ETs, or extraterrestrials, are visiting Earth and are absolutely non-hostile. An emergency room physician in North Carolina, founder Dr. Stephen Greer, leads groups which he terms boarding parties to proposed UFO contact sites in attempts to initiate contact. Greer was once a TM practitioner, a transcendental meditation teacher, now instructing his CSETI members in meditative projection, mental imagery, and other consciousness techniques and protocols to call down the ships. Once the boarding party gathers at a site and has recorded names and other vital information on tape to be left behind in case they fly away on a ship, they signal the alien craft using those techniques in combination with high-powered flashlights and UFO sound effects played repetitively over a loudspeaker, usually with mixed results. Now, that was basically what we had to say about CSETI. Now, a number of members of the CSETI group, including my in-studio guest, Dr. Joseph Burks, found that we perhaps treated CSETI a little too lightly and were somewhat upset that we included them in an issue where we took a look at other cults. Some of them, of course, over the years, some of these UFO cults have been quite, Dwight, what's the word I want to use? Controversial, to say the least.
And some discredited.
Yes. And many discredited. And the folks at CSETI felt that we misrepresented them. So Dr. Burks sent us an 11-page letter listing a number of his concerns and considerations, which we printed an edited version of it in UFO Magazine, at which time Dr. Burks then challenged us to a debate over CompuServe. And my reaction was, why CompuServe? That's like having telephone sex. I mean, it may sound good, but you really can't get into it, if you know what I mean. So let's do an in-studio debate, which he very graciously accepted. And now that's what we're going to do. So, Dr. Burks, welcome to UFOs Tonight. We're glad you could make it.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Did I pretty much state everything? Is there anything that you would have a disagreement with up to this point?
I think...
And notice, Harry, we've all been talking here, so go ahead.
I would certainly have much to disagree with, but perhaps it would be helpful if I, in a positive way, stated what my perspective is, what Sea City is about, and then the listeners will have a chance to decide what perspective is more accurate.
Now, did I tell you you had to give me a check before I let you do that?
It was five figures or six. I can't remember.
But can I just say one thing there in response to what you just said? The I've come into this controversy late because I didn't know that there was a controversy about what Sea City thought about what was in UFO magazine. Would you talk, really, because the executive director of your organization wrote a scathing letter to UFO.
Vitriolic.
As a result of this, and you have taken exception to this. So would you, since you felt that you were not treated fairly, would you respond to what was written and tell us what you find that's unacceptable to you?
Well, I certainly won't comment on any letters that I haven't seen.
Your own. You can talk about your own, but we'll show
right.
you. Yes.
So you did mention a letter by executive director. I haven't seen that letter, so I'm not going to mention that.
No, you don't have to mention that yet. Well, we will bring it up. In fact, I did ask. Yeah. Hopefully, we invited Sherry Adamiak to be on as a radio guest.
Yes, we did.
And she didn't, she couldn't.
For what Sea Seti is, in a nutshell, it's a scientific research organization that was founded in 1990. It's, by the way, it has tax-exempt educational status, which is an acknowledgement that the federal government thinks that what we're doing may have some bona fide credentials and is certainly not a hoax. Very few scientific UFO organizations have that status.
That is
501(c). I've seen the forms, and I reminded the executive director, international director's wife, lovely Emily Greer, to remind her to file the follow-up papers as well. So
Good.
We have that status, and I think that's important to take note of. What we are doing is we're training groups of citizens diplomats to go out and to secure locations and using a variety of techniques developed by the center to, in a safe and harmless way, attempt to interact with extraterrestrial spacecraft and to the intelligence behind what is popularly known as the flying saucer phenomena. Now, my interest goes back only about 5 years. Before 1990, I had never read a book or an article about UFOs. My background, besides being an internist and working in an emergency room, and having an overpriced piece of real estate on the west side of Los Angeles, which I'm paying lots of money to keep going and wondering what it's about, and taking care of my family, wife, and two kids, my involvement, lifelong involvement, has been around peace and social justice issues. And I was active in anti-Vietnam War activities, civil rights. I worked with the National Farm Workers to recruit physicians to go to their clinics. And I was active in the trade union movement around helping workers make the workplace a safer place. But the most exciting part of my work as a physician activist was in the anti-nuclear movement. Back in the 80s, as you might remember, there were members of government administration that said, we can survive nuclear war. And so I band together with thousands of other physicians. I traveled to the Soviet Union. I happened to speak Spanish and Russian. And our message was one nuclear weapon can ruin your whole day. And we felt it was too important to leave to the generals and to the politicians to decide what the fate of the earth
This is great, Joe. But
what did we say that upset you?
Well, I'm going to continue. I think the audience should know who I am. It's not uncustomary on radio shows to, when you have a guest, to let him tell who he is and why he's doing the work.
Well, yes, but with the focus.
In other words,
I'm not going
to be interrogated like a police officer.
There is no interrogation.
Right. And there's two of you,
there
and I'd
no
like to continue if you wouldn't cut me off, please. And so when I found out about the presence of extraterrestrial spacecraft visiting Earth, and I attended my first UFO meeting, which perhaps was my first big mistake. I found a bearded, tall physician who happened to be an emergency room doctor like myself, Dr. Greer, who said that he had developed a technique that he could actually attract to secure locations, structured craft, and interact with them in limited ways. Well, That's very nice. What's the proof? The proof took the form of videotape footage of that March 14th, 1992 encounter where over 50 people who had just been trained by Stephen Greer at a SeaSETI workshop, they actually had an interaction with craft which were identified by the residents of Gulf Breeze as the typical Gulf Breeze craft that they had been seeing. Although prior to that, reportedly, never more than two had appeared, and on the videotape you can see no less than four and perhaps up to seven craft. Clearly was an interactive component, signaling going back and forth. The crowd was amazed. There were retired military officers, including jet pilots there. And when I saw that videotape, one of three things occurred to me. Number one, must be some incredible hoax, perhaps. Maybe Stephen Greer has got a special effects team that's faking these things, or they're in cahoots with the intelligence services. Or perhaps Greer is a nincompoop and he doesn't know how to vector in the difference between a spacecraft and the moon. Or perhaps he's telling the truth. I didn't take it at face value. I went and I live in Southern California. I met him at UFO Expo West in Los Angeles. And as soon as I had a break in my schedule, I flew to West Palm Beach, where another workshop, this was on the other side of Florida, and I actually happened to get a chance to meet with some of the people who were at that encounter. And they confirmed what I had seen on videotape, that these were structured objects. They did not appear to be balloons with candles, and there was an interactive component with it. And that night on that beach, I saw my first UFO. Now, it was anomalous light that shot over the water at over 100 miles an hour. It was not a shooting star. It was less than 100 feet above our heads. It was totally silent. It appeared as if we were onto something. And so following that, I went back to Los Angeles, where I work, and I organized a team of UFO investigators that learned the techniques, and we invited Dr. Greer out for a workshop, and we started practicing these techniques. And lo and behold, a series of unusual encounters occurred where over the course of 3 years, as a result of my participation in this project, I've been able to witness no less than on four separate occasions structured craft. I no longer consider myself a believer in UFOs. I'm a witness to the phenomena of extraterrestrial spacecraft visiting the Earth.
Okay, now we've got to take a break, and I think that you will agree that I certainly gave you your chance to explain who you are. And when we come back, more on CSETI, Dr. Joe Birx, Dr. Stephen Greer, the group that encompasses all over the United States, and I guess you now have members around the world.
Canada, Great Britain, and Mexico.
How many members?
What the national office tells me and what the membership lists are 600 that I count.
Okay. And as a matter of fact, you had, according to your booklet here that you sent me, you had a very interesting experience that happened in Great Britain, which we're going to be talking about. Before we go to the break, however, and Renee's standing over here ready. As a matter of fact, she's trembling to give you the phone numbers, which we're going to be taking calls later in the show. I want to Jeff play an excerpt. Dr. Birx sent me a videotape with several programs that CSETI was on, and I'm going to play you an excerpt of actually what they do and how they get ready to attempt to vector in UFOs using sound, initializing contact using lights, and meditative thought projections. So if you guys are ready, go ahead and lay it on us.
This is a sighting show.
Initiating a CE5 includes using sound, which are at this point we're using anomalous sounds that were recorded inside of crop circles in England. We use light. When we go out into the field, we go with 500,000 candle power halogen lights that are portable.
The lights are used signaling to the UFO either in a series of flashes or by drawing shapes in the sky, usually a large triangle or large circle. It's meant to encourage the UFO to participate and to interact with the project.
We also use thought in the form of meditative thought or thought projection. We call it coherent thought sequencing.
So we are using these, what we call the contact trilogy, in a protocol fashion with the express intention of a boarding party, a Sea City Train boarding party, going on board and having a meeting with these visitors.
And we are back. Now, Dwight, you had a question over there, but I wanted to ask Dr. Birx before we get into this, what exactly in that particular paragraph that we had in the magazine that CSETI found objectionable?
That was my question.
Oh, okay.
Oh, guilt by association would be the perfect complaint, I would say. You have Dr. Greer's picture posted up with a bunch of other people who I think the UFO magazine has played some role in exposing as less than credible. And although you do ask the question, rather than saying CSETI is a cult, you put us with others that clearly in the minds of many of the readers would be established as a cult. My experience with CSETI is that we are a scientific group. We use protocols that are scientifically generated, and we go through extensive documentation of our encounters. You've got some reports, which I think you've read about, some of the interactions. We document our findings with videotapes, tape recorders, and still cameras. And in some ways, what we're doing is not so different from other popular Skywatch organizations, with the important difference of instead of just passively waiting for UFOs to show up, you know, sort of like go down that bridge and maybe watch the skies with a telescope and drink some Jack Daniels or something like that. We are going to areas where there are waves of UFOs, and we're using techniques that have been shown to, on occasion, actually be associated with the appearance of craft, in other words, vector in craft. So from my perspective, and the fact that we have professional people, physicians, there are three physicians in my team, three PhD psychologists, professional pilots, to associate us in this unfortunate way, I think could be conceived of as guilt by through association. So
the difference with your group, though, is that you call yourselves scientific, and the other groups that you were saying, the Skywatch groups, they don't necessarily put on the patina of being scientific and then try to convince people that are hearing about CSETI.
I think MUFON is a scientific group. They have elaborate training manuals, which, by the way, we use. I have much to thank MUFON for. In fact, many of our UFO researchers in CSETI are members of both organizations. In fact, I'm a member of both organizations. So using detailed techniques of Skywatch and observation, knowing the various different types of patterns of terrestrial crafts in order to allow us to distinguish what is truly anomalous or unknown, I think that would indeed fall within the category of a scientific research organization.
Your own feeling of that, or Greer's feeling, or anybody else in CSETI, but what about the generally understood, accepted principles of science? That we don't see in CSETI, in my mind.
You see, the essence of science is not necessarily to interview people who have had an experience. The essence of science is to carry out an experiment, a real-time interaction. If you're a chemist, you just don't talk to other people who have done chemistry experiments. Similarly, UFO organizations that interview witnesses are limited in the amount of information they can obtain by the fact that they're talking about an event that happened in the past. In science, that's called retrospective. Prospective research, ongoing from now into the future, allows a scientist, an engineer, a chemist, to interact in some way with the subject of his study or her study, make observations, and in that way, the amount of information you can learn is far greater than doing what passes as science in UFO circles, which often takes more the form of journalism.
Well, I think you would be more than willing to...
Not that journalism is important and your magazine plays an important role.
Not to think that you would disagree with this, but I think you would definitely agree that there is very little science practiced in the UFO research arena.
With the exception of CSETI, I would say yes.
The one thing about science, they never come to a conclusion before all the facts are in. And that's where I propose that CSETI has broken with the scientific method, because CSETI has come to the conclusion without all the facts in that UFOs definitively are non-hostile, have never harmed or committed anything that we would consider to be an outrage, and the fact that they are just waiting with bated breath to establish contact with CSETI representatives.
Oh, I think you've misstated our organization, and if I have a chance, I'll explain how
well,
you've done
that. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you the opening, the opportunity.
Let me explain to you something about science. Science is not just the endless amassing of minutiae details. Science, after a period of observation, and preferably observation under real-time conditions like experiments, which is what each CSETI field investigation is. It's an experiment to see if we can actually interact with this phenomenon. But science then collects data and organizes that data into hypothesis or theory, or comes to what in science is called an assessment. CSETI's assessment that we are being visited is not something that just fell out of the sky last night. In the modern era, for the last 40 years, a mountain of information has been acquired about the anomalous objects that are appearing in our sky.
Well, we totally agree with that.
Structured craft. People are having interactions, some of which may be on board. These things can be recorded on videotape and recorded on radar tape, and they leave traces. And so for someone to say that because CSETI has made the assessment that we are being visited, that this is jumping the gun and that science never makes
that's not our bone of contention.
Joe, let me tell you something. You can't tell me anything about science, okay? It's a very pompous comment that you just made a moment. Let me read something that you wrote, and you tell me if this is scientific.
This is
a letter that you wrote to Vicky. It's 11 pages. Parapsychology and the study of the paranormal, known popularly as PSI, are logically the essential components of any in-depth investigation of the UFO field because these advanced peoples visiting Earth are so skilled in these areas. What scientific proven fact can you point to make this statement? That has been accredited or has been noted by other scientific organizations?
Do you know what psi, how would you define psi?
I ask you the question.
Psi
is that a scientific statement that you made?
Yes, and I think if we had time and if we weren't limited in this kind of banter back and forth, two on one, three on one, let's continue.
No, Joe, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Let's continue.
Joe, don't do that.
I will explain to you that psi is the science of the interaction between mind and matter. Psi falls into two categories, psychokinesis, so-called mind over matter, and ESP. Now, if you look at the UFO literature, you will see numerous accounts of where individuals, in the presence of obvious anomalous objects, would have the thought or would say to one another, I wish that object would come closer. I wish. In fact, there are people who claim, and they've been filmed, there's a woman in Canada, I think by the name of ISAT, who actually claims that when the craft show up, they will respond to her, quote, telepathic commands. If this were happened to be one rare case, one would say that, well, maybe it's coincidence. Someone says, move to the right, move to the left, and these objects do. But the number of cases within the UFO literature where these kinds of interactions occur are very numerous, and it's CSETI's position that they are sadly most ignored cases because they have within them the key to explain how humanity can start interacting with these extraterrestrial spacecraft using some of the psi techniques that CSETI is pioneering. I'm sorry that you think I'm pompous.
Excuse me. I said it because the comment was so, and I have merely asked you a few questions. And when the question is asked, you become very angry that we're asking a question. I'm perfectly willing to listen to your responses. I'm simply here to find out what it is that you say, and it's very difficult when you take a very defensive posture at asking you something that you wrote.
I explained what psi is, and I mentioned the scientific literature in the UFO literature describing these kinds of interactions. I think I've answered your question.
But psi doesn't have the
benefit. Well, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to have to take a break. We're down at the bottom of the hour, so everybody's going to have to hold off. Hold off. This is why we wanted you to have Sherry Adamiak on, too, so you would have somebody else. Somebody else that would be taking a position that's...
Well, she has said some things which I would like to address in her letter, and I find them similar. But she takes it a step further. So when we come back, I would just like to point out what the executive director of CSETI has said.
We're back. I was waiting for them in the booth to turn on my microphone. Okay. Dwight, did you have something you wanted to address?
Yes. I just like to... Well, there's two sections. After the article that you read earlier, as you know, Sherry Adamiak, who is the executive director of CSETI, wrote a letter to Vicky Cooper, editor-in-chief of UFO Magazine, and she was also very angry about the article. It's eight paragraphs of being angry, and we'll come back to it later, some of the things that she said. But the last paragraph is the telling paragraph. These are quotes from Sherry Adamiak. Our senior research teams have had extraordinary success with a pitiful lack of funds. Any cutting-edge research is bound to have mixed results. To suggest that mixed results using protocols involving nonlinear thought somehow qualifies as cultish shows an incredible lack of forward thinking. Or it implies a hidden agenda. Your article bears out another saying that you know you're getting somewhere when your contemporaries get scared by your success. Now, having read the article myself, and as exactly as you read it, mixed results means precisely that. Some good, some bad. There are very few scientific organizations that wouldn't jump up and down from having achieved mixed results.
Fleshman and Pons, for one.
Yes. The extraordinary thing, we'll ask Dr. Birx about this, the entire article that Vicky Cooper wrote was separated into two sections. One was cults defined, and the second was cults or cutting edge, with strictly a very important question that was asked. When Billy Meyer was described, the word discredited appeared in the little blurb. There was nothing similar to that at all under Steve Greer and CSETI. And if Dr. Greer had read the entire article, the two sections together, he would find that Vicky Cooper said, quite frankly, that the word cult is thrown around too liberally. Too liberally. It's very difficult to define what it is. It's not used properly frequently. It defames people. And there is, of course, there was a quote by J. Gordon Melton, attributed to him, which is a quote is any organization. What is that?
A cult is any organization you don't like.
You don't like,
which is a very thumbnail.
The anger that Sherry Adamiak expressed here, and I will later on we'll go back over it, to accuse UFO Magazine of perhaps a hidden agenda for using the preposterous term mixed results. For Dr. Birx to have written a letter, too, that was published in the July-August issue, saying UFO irresponsibly had covered this subject, points to the fact that you can't criticize CSETI for anything.
That's right. Okay, and that's the problem.
Oh, that's your opinion.
Let me finish now. This is where the story goes, because this is just those are just two parts. Finally, we have Sherry Adamiak posting on a computer network. In response to a rumor. Hi, this thread is fascinating to me. You have my permission to quote from the following and post it anywhere you wish. I was at the UFO Expo West in LA in May 1991 when Bill Cooper from the audience addressed a panel which included Vicky Cooper and Don Ecker. Bill Cooper stated to Ms. Cooper and the audience that he had knowledge that Ms. Cooper had been a bookkeeper for the Mayflower Madam Biddle Barrows. When that case was going on, Bill Cooper stated that Vicki Cooper was rewarded for her cooperation in the investigation by being given the initial funding to start UFO Magazine, which, according to Bill Cooper, could be used to launder information and opinions put out by intelligence forces. I can tell you that Vicki Cooper did not deny any of Bill Cooper's allegations. She gave a response that would make a politician proud. She danced around the issues without ever confirming or denying it. I can tell you also that UFO Magazine in the past two issues has launched into an unprovocated, I think she meant unprovoked, attack on C. SETI and Dr. Stephen Greer. Neither reason nor testimony from those who know sway them. Also keep in mind that they trashed the Roswell video without ever having seen it. Until it is investigated scientifically, we cannot in any offhand, cavalier manner pass judgment on such a potentially definitive piece of evidence if it is real. Respectfully submitted, Sherry Adamiak, Executive Director of C. SETI. Now that is malicious rumor mongering, particularly the opening phrase, which is, hi, this thread is fascinating to me. So we have mixed results.
I'd like to talk about some of our results later if I have a chance.
You certainly can. The term mixed results has ended up not only in being accused of hidden agendas, but being a criminal and involved with prostitution. And it fascinates the executive director of a scientific organization.
Whether you like it or not,
this is your organization.
Excuse me, that was a Freudian slip. Whether you like it or not, that is your organization, and you have to bear part of the brunt of what comes at you.
I'm not here to comment on this
you
letter.
You are here.
I see.
You asked for a debate.
Yeah.
You said we were unfair.
I asked for an opportunity to speak on the radio. So far, I seem to being asked a lot of angry questions and asked to listen to a letter which I've never seen before. I was hoping to share some of my experiences that the listeners might be able to decide, if they were given a chance to hear what I have to say, about the work we're doing and some of the incredible sightings and interactions that have occurred. But if you'd like to read that letter or others, I'm yours. I'm here.
Well, Joe, it's not that we wanted to read the letter. We just feel, as people who have addressed this subject and tried to do it in a journalistic, scientific way, that an organization like C. SETI that presumes so highly to be scientific and to be doing good work needs to explain itself when there are top-level people in the hierarchy. Now, you are not speaking for Sherry Adamiak.
This
is true.
I'm speaking for Dr. Joseph Burks, who had a number of very interesting encounters while I was in Mexico in 1993. For example, our team, and we call it Rapid Mobilization Investigative Team, that's RMIT, what that is a group of UFO investigators that travel to hotspots around the world where there are waves of UFOs appearing. We then use the techniques that are developed by the center in an attempt to interact. And I'll grant it, these are very limited interactions. What we call it is photon talk. We shine the light at the craft. And these, by the way, are not just anomalous nocturnal lights, but on a number of occasions we've actually interacted with solid objects that block out the sky as they maneuver. And in this way, we try to establish lock-on in lights, which is the exchange of light signaling. Now, on February 1st, 1992, at the base of Popocatepetl volcano, our team was there, and we were successful in interacting with a very large triangular-shaped craft. Remember, in 1991, starting in July 11th, 1991, there was a wave of sightings in the Mexico City area that continued up until this date. And so we went to
some extraordinary video has come out.
That's right. And we went to this place to have an attempt at interactions.
And what happened to your video?
Am I being interrogated? I will explain what happened to our video, but let me at least tell the audience what I saw. Or would you like me to start backwards and say what happened to the video before I tell what happened?
No.
I mean, you may not know this, but you're speaking in a very aggressive way, and it's not necessarily going to help me to explain my organization or to explain what we do if I'm not given a chance to speak. So what we saw was a large triangular-shaped craft, which came out between the volcanoes. That's Popocatépetl, which is 17,000 feet high, and I have trouble pronouncing it. Itzatzihuatl, which is the sleeping giant adjacent to it. And in this area, about 100 miles from Mexico City, the local people, in fact, the local UFO researchers said 90% of the people have seen a UFO or have a close family member who have seen a UFO. A large triangular-shaped craft, which was has been sighted in the past, appeared February 1st, 1993, and at 10:45, this large craft, which is accompanied by a smaller vehicle, which might be characterized as a possible scout ship, the large craft was about 300 feet across. The smaller one looked like a typical disc or oval, about 30 feet across. It swung in a large arc around, and as we signaled at it, it signaled back. It was solid, it blocked out the sky, and when we attempted to carry out our documentation, we had video cameras and still cameras, all our attempts were thwarted. The 60-power optical zoom Canon Super 8 was working perfectly well before, and was working afterwards. In fact, on the tape of that encounter, you can hear us excitedly talking about what we had just seen. The 35mm single lens reflex, which we had computer operated, it too did not function. And even a little brownie or 110, like click click, Hawkeye camera, whatever those little brownies are called, that did not function as well. Well, that was not the first time in the history of ufology that people have had encounters, and they were not successful in documenting, at least to their satisfaction. I was frustrated. But you have to remember, in ufology, an area that is so contentious that if you don't have a picture and you've had an encounter, you'll have the skeptics or the debunkers who say, well, it didn't happen. And of course, in ufology, if you do have a picture, then you'll find the skeptics and the debunkers who say it's a hoax.
Well, I think anybody in this field that is honest will state that we are all basically working from an untenable position. I can't think of anybody that truly has a handle on what's going on. These problems with cameras have been reported over the years. Yet, on the other hand, there are many people that have, in fact, gotten some pretty darn good pictures. As a matter of fact, the video that you sent me, Joe, when you were on a local cable television program, you had a photograph from, I believe it was one of the Belgium UFOs from a number of years ago, the triangular-shaped object. You folks encountered something like that, is that correct?
The object that I saw in Mexico was very similar to the object that was reportedly seen in Belgium. Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to take a break. We're at the quarter of the next hour. We're going to have to stop very quickly, take a break. When we come back, more with my special in-studio guests, Dr. Joseph Birks, Dwight Schultz, Vicki Cooper, myself, Renee, and all the gang right here at UFOs Tonight. And before we go on here, I wanted to play another excerpt from one of C. SETI's. Yeah, you ready? Go ahead.
Trying to establish contact with the life forms on board these objects. And this is very important. C. SETI really isn't interested in the UFOs. We're interested in the occupants or the intelligence or the beings behind the UFOs. To get one to land and eventually, if possible, to get a boarding party on board one of these objects. Nobody really knows why these extraterrestrials are here. However, there's not a scintilla of evidence, not a scintilla of evidence, that their net motives for being here are hostile or oriented towards harming life on this planet.
That's a very interesting place to pick up. That's something that I had mentioned.
I think the word is, C. SETI has an assumption of Greer used the word net non-hostile, which I've always had a problem with, because what is net non-hostility? If you have hostile on one side and unhostile on another, the net is unhostile. I would say that it's better and clearer to state that C. SETI has as an assumption, and I think it's very clear in our literature, that the extraterrestrials are approachable, and we assume that they are non-hostile. Now, I've been going out in the field now for 3 years. Some of these anomalous objects, which are structured craft and carry out maneuvers which defy my knowledge of physics, and I think the knowledge of physics on the planet to date, These objects have come within very close to our teams of people. We have no weapons, you know, and no one has been deliberately hurt. No one has been abducted. No one has been damaged. And we go out week after week and month after month, and on occasion, when we are successful, we have these very limited interactions with these objects.
When you say limited interaction, what are you specifically
referring to? Well, I talked about the photon talk. In other words, during one encounter, we attempted to signal back and forth at these objects. This happened to be in November of 1993, and these objects appeared as what you call in the UFO lore, jumpers. These were lights that were radically changing their direction in a very rapid zigzag fashion. And every time we shined...
Flying about in the sky.
Flying about in the sky very rapidly. Also, there was a strobe-like quality to the light. We actually have some video of that encounter. Now, we had attempted to signal back and forth. They would not respond to our signals in terms of the usual type of thing that we experienced. But when these objects were held within the beam of our 1.5 million candle power lantern, they froze. And if we held the trigger of that lantern down for 5 seconds or 30 seconds, the object would not move in the sky.
Okay, now, Joe, there have been, since we have been aware as a nation of the subject of unidentified flying objects, which roughly now has been a half century, there have been people all around the world that have observed these craft flying about in the skies. Many people have flashed lights at them. There are reports of aircraft flashing their landing lights at the unidentified flying objects. Military craft have done the same thing. What is it about the C-SETI organization that you feel puts you folks on the cutting edge? Why would these unidentified, unknowable up to this point, entities pick C-SETI over any other group, organization, nation, or person to initiate contact with, and why hasn't it happened up to now? You've got to admit that as long as C-SETI itself as an organization has been in existence, you have yet to put one person on board a landing party that I'm aware of. Now, I could be wrong, and if I am, please correct me.
Well, considering the atmosphere of ridicule and denial on this planet, anyone who thinks they've actually had an onboard experience has to be very careful about how they address that subject.
Now, we're aware, of course,
right,
and have covered many times in the magazine abduction,
right,
or as other people prefer to call it,
experiences. With this, anyone who has a profession like me or someone who has a responsible position in the community might not run to shout from the tops of roofs about having an onboard experience.
But I'm talking about C-SETI going on board fully aware.
Yeah, as far as I think C-SETI has overstated the case, however, because there are other organizations that have been doing this kind of work for decades. The one that comes to mind particularly is the Mission Rama group that started in 1974. When Sixto Paswells in Peru had a series of remarkable interactions, some of which have also been filmed. And if you talk to people from Mission Rama, now they've changed their name, they now call themselves Mission Humanidad, they've claimed that they have had interactive experiences with 50,000 people in attendance all over the world in the last 20 years. So the claim that you may have heard that C-SETI is the only organization that's doing this kind of thing or is on the cutting edge, I think given the effort of other groups that are in some ways similar, and let's face it, in some ways very different, that we're not the only ones.
Well, Joe, is Mission Rama net spiritual or net scientific? Do you know? And I asked the same question about C-SETI. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think there is some confusion because of the techniques that we use. Thought projection and meditation are primarily thought of as religious types of exercises. However, as a practicing physician, I can tell you that physicians for decades have used meditation as a treatment for hypertension and other disorders. I look at the meditation component of C-SETI not as a quasi-religious or spiritual type. I look at it as a tool. I may not understand how the thought projection work. As a practicing physician, I don't understand how a lot of the medicines that I use work. However, on the basis of an empiric approach, I'm going to use them because they're accepted, they've stood the test of time. So I really can't comment in detail about Mission Rama, but I know some of their leaders, and perhaps they could talk to you about their organization.
But medicines go through quite a trial. I mean, anyone who knows how medicines are tested for years and years and years and years and years before they're approved by the FDA. So there is an extraordinary amount of testing to see the effects of that drug before the scientific or medical groups and doctors will approve them. Wouldn't you say that's correct?
Right. I don't think CSETI work is for everyone because some people...
But is it But see, I go back... Excuse me. This goes back to the question of scientific.
Oh, right.
All right? Because this is your claim. And now, quite honestly, I don't see the science. And that is part of my problem.
Well, I'll explain it to you again, and I'll try to be clearer this time. The essence of science is not to interview people about events that happened in the past. It is to have prospective interactions with the phenomena you are studying. Going out and interacting with this phenomena in full psychomotor control of our bodies with video cameras.
And you've memorized this and you say it over and over, and that's not answering the question.
That's a depreciating kind of comment.
It is, well, because
that,
you are talking down to us.
You are,
because you don't want to answer a question.
I think I've just explained
honest questions.
I can answer it just as best as I can.
Can I read something again that you wrote?
You certainly are free, but I just want to finish saying that the essence of an experiment is an interaction with the phenomena
you're
studying.
That's the experiment. But then to claim we have proved it is a whole other step. To actually have proved it is a whole other step. So let me read what you wrote, because I think it's antithetical to what you're saying.
Please do. Thank you.
I find it amazing, given the fact that your popular magazine has for many years presented considerable evidence supporting the view that we are being visited by ET spacecraft piloted by non-human crews, that you would cling to the ET hypothesis as a mere theory, albeit you state that it is indeed one of the best, if not the best, working hypothesis. It says worlds about the level of denial that exists here on Earth concerning the ET presence.
Thank you very much. I agree with my statement.
Yes. Well, that you would cling to the hypothesis.
There's some other parts you might want to read to.
No, it's very long. I know it's very, very long. But hypothesis as a mere theory, hypothesis and theory are the same thing. And the point is that a hypothesis is not proven. And this is what Vicky said to you. It is not proven. You have not proven it.
Well,
if you
there's
have,
no proof.
There is no proof.
That what's behind what you're saying is extraterrestrial, Joe.
One at a time.
Thank you. I need a referee here. Yeah. Thank you, Don. The evidence showing that we're being visited is enormous. CSETI does not have to necessarily be the sole provider of that proof. What CSETI is attempting to do is by having interactions with the phenomena to add to the body of knowledge that is out there in a slightly different way. And that is, rather than interviewing people or analyzing trace evidences of landings, to actually go out and invite encounters and see what happens. That doesn't seem to me a very difficult concept to understand. The amount of information you can get is greater when you are in the field with cameras ready rather than talking to someone about something that happened in the past.
Well, I think we have in here a very interesting cross-section of individuals. We have a journalism graduate over here, a practicing journalist. You're a practicing physician, Joe. Dwight is a practicing actor. I'm a practicing investigator. And I think we all have a take on this subject a little bit differently. Now, as a former law enforcement officer, if somebody were to come to me and say, okay, we are being visited by extraterrestrial intelligence coming here, a physical being in a physical craft able to traverse the stars, I would say, from my perspective as a former law enforcement officer, what is the proof? The fact that we are being visited by something I think is undeniable. I myself, as I told you before the show, I've had several sightings over the years, over the last 30 years, of things that I could not explain. But if I had to go into court from my perspective, Joe. And I said, and I raised my hand and I said, Your Honor, I swear to tell the truth, so help me God. And they said, are we being visited by extraterrestrial, other living beings from another star system? I would have to say, I don't know. Where is the proof? I can hypothesize that that's what appears to be happening. But there is no way that I could swear to that fact. I may guess it, I may believe it, I may think that that's the only likely hypothesis, but I don't
Let me explain something about science. Before you initiate a scientific investigation, you do not have to have the proof that is the result.
But you don't come out and say you have proof.
May I finish, please? I mean, yes. Don, help me out here, would you? This lovely lady over here, I know you're related to her, but, you know...
Related to her, Joe, I'm married to her.
I was only libeled by your organization. I'm sorry for being so outspoken.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is basically that in the process of going out into the field and interacting with these objects, CSETI obtains additional evidence to add to the already existing evidence that we are being visited. Now, it's true that in a court of law, you could not prove the extraterrestrials are here. And it's also true that there are many things that can't be true proved in a court of law, which still can be established as true.
Well, we can guess and we can theorize, but what we were saying, Dr. Birx, we do not have, nor does anybody that I'm aware of, with the possible exception of the U.S. government, definitive proof that they are, without a doubt, extraterrestrial visitors.
You know, it is my hope that CSETI in its protocols will facilitate a landing and a boarding, and if our video cameras work at that point, we will have a more definitive proof.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to have more when we come back. We have another full hour. So, my name is Don Ecker. Joining me in studio, Mr. Dwight Schultz, Ms. Vicki Cooper-Ecker, Dr. Joseph Birx, our special in-studio guest. My name is Don Ecker. The show UFOs tonight on the Cable Radio Network.